You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show. Today on the James Altucher Show.
So as usual, Brian Keating, physicist extraordinaire, and I were going to do a podcast about how the universe began. We have a whole series coming out on this show about all the different, you know, Brian almost won the Nobel Prize for this, so he's the expert to talk to, and it was fascinating. But as usual, we started talking about a business idea that we both independently have been researching. And so I think this is a good idea. I'm going to start it, but it's the sort of idea that it doesn't matter how many people start this idea. You can all, I love sharing ideas. A, if you can do this better than me, power to you, go for it. But B, this is a huge universe. Just steal my idea. That's the whole purpose of sharing ideas. That's the whole purpose of having ideas. We're going to discuss this business idea. Feel free to steal it, take it, do whatever you want with it, change it, modify it, make it better, enjoy. And this is the also shows the process of just riffing on a new idea. Enjoy.
Basically, I'm taking all my podcasts and turning them into a book, and we talked about that. But I was thinking, you know, something that you might be interested in. Like, why not do that for, like, all podcasts that have show notes? They can make a book. And you, yeah. Like you, we could take all your past podcast episodes, turn it into, you know, an 800-page book or whatever, and then it's on Kindle, and then you could even do audio excerpts from it. But not just do that, but make, in other words, the meta idea is the company. Like, you and I just go out and say, look, here's our company. We'll turn every one of your show notes into a Kindle audiobook and printed book on Amazon with your name as first author.
So, okay. So let me play with your idea for a second.
Yeah.
We're just riffing.
Yeah.
So I like the concept of the idea, but like, take a podcast like mine that's had about 700 episodes. Mm-hmm. Rule of thumb is every minute is a page. So if I have an hour long podcast, that's 60 pages. Let's say I've done 1,000 hours. That's, you know, 600,000 pages.
Right. Well, but the notes are much shorter. Your notes are like half a page on the internet with links to the author's books. Yeah, go on.
Right. So here's what I would do is that, and many podcasts don't have show notes.
Right.
So what we could do is we can basically say to the podcaster, we'll make the show notes. Right. Now, we won't make them specifically, but we would outsource to somebody who would make them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would curate that. And then I think the way to approach a podcaster is to say, hey, we're not going to do one book out of all 1,000 of your episodes, but we'll curate and figure, okay, here's a book, like for you, for instance, Think Like a Nobel Prize Winner. Right. That's 6 of your podcasts. That's a, you know, that itself is a 300 or 400-page book.
Yeah.
And we'll curate it. We'll do the auto engineering. We'll make the the audiobook. We'll make the textbook, the Kindle. We'll upload it to Amazon. We'll be the publishing company. And we'll split 50-50 the revenues.
Yes. Yeah. And you'll be the first author. Whoever, Pat Flynn, you're the first author. I mean, you know, even someone who's really smart, like Eric Weinstein, his audio essays are such brilliant. I actually proposed this to Eric. I said, I want to just take all your 38 show notes, just the audio essays. Forget about your guests. Like, he talks about racism. He talks about quantum mechanics. He talks about, and just turn it into a book. And I made an outline for him. He's just not taking action on it. But if we say, here's a turnkey system, you'll have a published book.
Right. And it'll cost him nothing. There's no risk. And by the way, maybe there's, you know, you can start off with the first couple of people. They could kill it at the end.
Yes.
And so we take the risk. There's no kill fee. Later on, you could have a kill fee.
Yep.
But so we take the risk of putting in the work. And And it's also obviously easy to make a video trailer for the book and do other things. But, and again, I would curate according to content. Yeah. So like, for instance, for me, I have podcasts with 20 sports stars.
Yeah,
I have
podcasts
with 20 comedians. You have the Nobel Prize winners. So we can do some little front work curating. Here's the 10 books we think we could do for you. We'll call you in 3 months and all books will be finished. And you know, you could just say yes and we'll upload them. And then, you know, all the money goes into the publishing company. And then we divert it out, you know, split it up. We take the risk on the cost of the podcast notes and the audio engineering and stuff like that. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. No one's doing it. As far as I can tell, nobody's doing it.
The people that are doing the advertising, we could partner with them. In other words, like we could make a totally turnkey service. We'll get you advertisers. We'll get you, you know, for like a bunch of small podcasts. And here's a book that'll come from all your show notes if they exist. Or for the platinum service, we curate, like you're saying. Like some people, like, you know, you used to do a lot more show notes than you do now. But like your back catalog has enough show, just pure show notes that, you know, for example, or you know, Tim Ferriss or whatever, Pat Flynn. And just, here you go. I just interviewed Evan Carmichael and it's just the same thing. It's like, you know, little tiny things. He's got billions of show notes. They have anyone who has a mailing list, we could do it for.
And actually anybody who does, most people don't have show notes.
Right.
We can do those show notes.
Exactly.
And again, that's something that will cost money. We can outsource it, but there's plenty of people out there who do great show notes.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I would do my show notes, but, you know, someone like Eric, it's funny because, you know, he's a very busy guy and writing, as you know, takes time and effort.
Yeah.
You know, he pours his creative energy into his work and his podcast. So you can't be creative in every area of life. And Think Like a Billionaire completely came out of my podcast. I don't know the exact numbers because I only published it through Scrib. That was part of the deal. But although now my exclusivity with them is over, so I'm going to publish it on Amazon. But there's so many reasons to do a book, like credibility. Yeah. Oh, and your point about the advertisers, we could have, you know, the front page of the book, you know, thanks for, you know, American Express, Microsoft, Casper Mattresses, Blue Chew, Pills, whatever, for sponsoring the podcast and this book. Here's one paragraph about each one of them. So they could pay for a lot of the underlying costs of the book if they're on that front page dedication page.
Yeah, exactly. And they get advertising for it. So the turnkey service is what I like about it. You know, and you could have different tiers, like for people that already have, like Eric's got a whole bunch of stuff written and then it's curating and editing his kind of work. But then, some people, you know, I have a writer who helps me with show notes, but some don't have any, as you're saying. So it's multi-level. If you want show notes only, if you want show notes plus a Kindle book, plus a hardcover, plus an audio book, with excerpts. I mean, it could be really big. I just don't know how to
Okay, well, let me see. I just, Jay and I were just looking at this, funny enough, for another podcast we're doing, the statistics on audiobooks. Because audiobook, like I make more money now on audiobooks from my past books.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of my checks each month from audiobooks, even from books like 6-7 years ago, I get more money now from audiobooks than from any other category.
Right.
And I think the percentage of audiobooks read, it like doubles each year. Like I think it was 5% of all books consumed last year, but it's like doubling each year. And that's a huge amount. And then we could even find advertisers to be in the audiobooks.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that, and they have all the audio contents done. Now what's not done, like take example of my podcast, I have a lot of hmms and haws. You know, even when we audio engineer, there's occasionally, you know, some stuff that doesn't really need to be in an audiobook. So we would do, you know, more detailed audio editing on the podcast with the cooperation of the podcast, where we might write like intros, or they might want to write an intro and an outro for different chapters to add to the podcast that goes into the audiobook. And then there's the other stuff, which is like cover design, interior design, uploading to all the different platforms. You know, there's a lot of aspects.
Yeah.
There's a lot of aspects, doing a video trailer. There's a lot of aspects of making a book that, you know, doing the editing, you know, because sometimes you can't just take show notes and say that's a chapter. You might have to expand things out.
It's basically like being a publishing company, you know, but it's multimedia because it's, you know, these high ROI, like you're saying, Kindle and Audible give you much more than the physical book. And they're already in the audio medium, so it's like it makes sense. And so there is a service that does transcript, and then it can take out ums and ahs, and it actually edits. It's a pretty sophisticated piece of technology.
But I would say that just because I have the one experience I have with exactly this idea is Think Like a Billionaire mm-hmm. with Scribd, and so we made the transcript, but then the transcript itself requires heavy editing because the way people talk are different than the way people write. So, but that's not that hard to do. It has to be done. So that's a service to provide. And again, the revenue opportunities are, you know, book and audiobook revenues, you split advertising. And the fact that each podcaster it's more than one book. It's each podcaster has anywhere between 10 and 100 books
exactly.
they can write.
Right. So it's recurring revenue, like that guy who's gotten 10,000 books on Amazon or whatever. If each one is making $800 a month, I mean, that's a killing. You know, if you woke up tomorrow and your next book was written, but it was written by you, it wasn't ghostwritten, it was your words, your ideas, your thoughts, your questions. Like, I mean, I'd pay a lot for that just to get that out. And maybe I make money from it, maybe I don't. Oh, by the way, every season you can renew this. Like every year, every calendar year, there's a whole 50 new podcasts or whatever for each author. So it's like recurring revenue, like a book a year. Here's, you know, you don't have to sign exclusive, you could or not, but here's 52 chapters of a book. And every year you'll have a book coming out that will have recurring revenue as an annuity for the rest of your life. Based on your words, you're the first author, you're the title author.
Right. So, okay. So number one is taking a podcast and making 1 to 1 million books at it. I don't quite like saying taking all of their podcasts and making a book right. because I think you could curate 100%. By content.
Yeah. I'm not going to use all of my interviews. I'm going to have themes, so, like five different chapters, like leadership, Nobel Prize, you know, far out ideas, you know, thought
politics.
Leaders. Yeah. Politics, thought leaders, you know.
And so that's something where the podcaster is technically the author. We provide the service and we get to split the revenues 50-50. Or actually, maybe you could even get more percentage on our side because we're providing all the service and they're probably happy just to author a book.
Yeah.
And the percentage they'd get from a publisher is only like 15 to 20%. So you can offer them 30 or 40%. The other idea is doing it for free, which by the way, they're not going to be against, like, oh, here's a whole book about my stuff. Like, they'll be happy with that too. And then you get 100% of the revenues and they're happy because it's another way to spread their message. It's another way to discover them, like through the Amazon search algorithm and so on. Mm-hmm. Well, the third idea is that...
Newsletters.
So the third idea is that if they're going to use it, if they want to say, yeah, I'd love to make a book, but I don't really want to publish on Amazon. I want to use this as a giveaway to get subscribers. Well, okay, we'll do that for you too, but that we have to charge.
Right.
So that's the third revenue model. And then a fourth is the advertising and, you know, all the ancillary revenues around
that. Yeah, we'll just make it turnkey. Here's mid-roll, here's a deal with mid-roll, here's a deal with, you know, whatever. And then mid-roll curates their advertisers, you know, so then American Express. And then we go to American Express. Look, we're getting all these ads placed for free, read by the authors and so forth.
Here's another business model. So take like Pat Flynn as an example. That's an interesting example because that's one where you could curate his episodes, but you don't have to. Every one of his episodes is a new person describing a start from scratch to multi-million dollar business. So that one, you could just say every 15 businesses that are described as a book. So it's, you know, make $1 million business, book one, make $1 million business, book two, and so on. But a lot of those businesses sell products and you could have, let's say from the ebook, links to all the different products, and you could do affiliate deals with those businesses.
So one of the things you got me thinking about is how to extend my message. Look, I'm not necessarily doing YouTube videos on my channel, Dr. Brian Keating, or Into the Impossible podcast to make money. I mean, I get paid a decent amount by the University of California. I'm a public servant. after all. And but I want my message to get out there. It's similar, you know, and I'm not comparing myself any more than I normally do to Galileo. I mean, he really wanted to get his message out to the world, and the new technology of the printing press was the way that only way. He couldn't make a billion telescopes to give around to every king of Europe or whatever, but he could make books. And those books disseminated his knowledge. And what you told me is, like, I have all these show notes and all this information from these one-of-a-kind guests, from Jim Simons, Peter Diamandis, Eric Weinstein, Stephen Wolfram, six Nobel Prize winners that they've never given interviews in some cases. And why not capture that in addition to audio to a book? Because for an academic like me, and I assume for business people too, a book is legitimate. Look, your frenemy, Jerry Seinfeld, has a funny line. He's like, a business card is an invitation to someone else to throw away a piece of garbage, right? It really means, here, you throw this away for me, right? I don't know if that made it into his new book. But the point is, nobody throws
it. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm reading his new book, and it's excellent.
I want to read it too, yeah. But nobody throws away a book. I've given away books. You know, I've spoken for free, and I've spoken and given away books, and no one ever throws away the book. They keep it, and they always want it signed. So I thought, why not turn the podcast, based on your recommendation, into a series of books, one for each season, perhaps, of the Into the Impossible podcast? I've got 100 episodes almost by now with thought leaders, billionaires, Nobel Prize winners, scientists, ordinary people, et cetera. And so I want to, you know, thank you for that. But I couldn't really figure out how it could turn into a side hustle, you know, how I could actually, again, I'm not hustling necessarily to make a lot of money, but I would love to hustle the ideas and that idea that you're really planting to make it turnkey. So, well, you gave me the idea to make my own podcast into a book. And my idea sex was like, well, everybody should want to convert their hard-earned, many hours of work goes into each podcast. There's a lot of people, if I want to scratch this itch, I'm sure there's a lot of other podcasters that want to scratch it too. So I thought of this idea that we could make basically this turnkey system for turning podcast and the gold in information within them and show notes perhaps into books, audiobooks, and use that to funnel not only perhaps leads for sales or whatever. Again, scientists don't make many sales. We lose on every sale. But we do want to be merchants of ideas and merchants of truth. And this is going to help a lot of scientific podcasters and hopefully a lot of other people out there too.
Yeah, I love this idea. And again, I'm probably one of the few people who's directly taken, you know, a set of podcast episodes, all my interviews with billionaires, and turned it into a paperback, an audiobook, an ebook. And again, that's just on a, you know, out of 700 episodes I've done, that's only a handful of my episodes. I could curate so I could put out 100 books. And look, just think of a former peer of yours, Isaac Asimov, who was I forgot what school he was technically a professor of his whole life. He was a professor of biology somewhere, like, yeah. and he didn't care at all about it. But the guy wrote 560 books, or he was a co-author. He was an author or co-author on 560 books because he would repurpose content.
Yeah.
He'd write all these articles about, you know, the Big Bang and then combine them into a book, and that was a book. Like, right now, like, think about it. You and I are doing a book about the beginning of the universe, because we're going to take these podcast episodes and doing that could be a test case. I'm working on an audio book right now with Charlemagne. I have a book coming out with HarperCollins. Yeah. Like, the new world is all about repurposing content for many formats, but there's no real businesses that cater to that, that acknowledge that idea, that this is a big part of this new world we live, this new media world we live in.
And people like to have multiple formats, you know, as you pointed out to me. You know, I was thinking, oh, well, how interesting would it really be to read, you know, just the show notes from my episode? You were like, no, take the audio excerpts of, you know, Jim Simons talking about the one person in human history he'd most like to have dinner with, and put that as an audio excerpt of him speaking in the audio book. People love that. People would love to have the links. to go and get information. Well, here's this thing that no one's, see, the problem with a lot of the ideas we're talking about, the Big Bang and alternatives, is that there are no books about these other things, but there are podcasts, there are scientific papers, there's popularizations. So in the Kindle version, we could have links, hyperlinks to their websites, because most academics don't publish books. You know, I published Losing the Nobel Prize with Norton, and that was a great amount of fun, but a tremendous amount of work. And the thing that academics would worry about, I don't know that most academics would feel comfortable with a ghostwriter writing their book. So our mutual friend, Eric Weinstein, he writes tremendous audio essays, he calls them, before every episode of The Portal. I've said to him, let me turn those into a book. And he's enthusiastic about it. We haven't done it yet, but if we just deliver him a book and then he can make the audio, read the essays himself, whatever, you make it as turnkey as possible. A, it's not ghostwriting. It's 100% belongs to Eric. And that satisfies the intellectual need for integrity of an academic. And I think a lot of people are like that too.
Right. To that point, it's a real book by the author, by the podcaster. Like, Think Like a Billionaire. I consider that just as much a book as all my other books, you know, because I, was involved in editing the transcript. But even if I wasn't, I created the content that resulted in the transcript along with my guests, but many books in life are based on interviews with other people, just organized in a certain way. And Jay, because you were with me every step of the way in there, even doing the audio book, if you were to add up all the amount of time it took me personally to make the audio book. So we had someone help edit the transcripts. We obviously didn't do the transcript. We didn't put together the final version that made it into a book. We didn't design the covers, you know, we didn't load it up to the publishing platforms. All the main thing I did once we, you know, not counting the podcast, once we decided to make it into a book, how much time was required from me to turn those podcasts into the book Think Like a Billionaire?
You mean including recording, right?
Yeah, I did an intro and outro of each chapter.
I believe it's like 8 to 16 hours, I believe. That's because like a lot of time, you know, a sit down, you look at the intro and then you rephrase the intro a little bit. So like, it's not like blatantly just read out off the scripts. And then we also have lots of chapters.
I would say closer to the 8 hours, but it might've felt like 16 because we rescheduled a lot.
Yeah, I think 16 in the sense that I actually have to put, I don't have to put the whole audiobook together. On my side, it's just I have to attach the intro to the podcast and the outro. Yeah. So those are, let's say, 8 hours of reading and 8 hours of production time.
Yeah. So I'm not involved in the production. I'm just involved in the reading of it.
Reading, yep.
And that's only if I wanted to do an intro. Don't forget, since then we changed the format of the podcast where now I do read an intro before each podcast. Many podcasters don't have to have intros. So they require them basically no hours of work.
Right. Yeah. And then you have links. And then this is also a way for people to, if they don't want to charge, you know, money, if they don't want to do it as a Kindle product for some whatever reason, they can use it to grow their, as a valuable commodity to give to their audience and way to collect, kind of like-minded people to join together to extract all the resources out of each episode. So I think it's, you know, it's really scratching my own itch, but thanks to this kind of thought you put in my mind that this is something I should do for my own podcast, might as well do it for how many podcasts are there, James?
1.5 million.
Wow.
and again, like I spend about 3 or 4 hours a day reading books, but I very rarely listen to podcasts actually. Mm-hmm. So a lot of like great podcasts are not exposed to the what. Now, you know, some people are the opposite of me. So in the past month, 68 million people in the US have listened to a podcast. Mm. So some people do listen to podcasts, some people read. So for a lot of great podcasters, like, let's say Eric Weinstein, I'd love to read a book by Eric Weinstein, but I have not really listened to that many of his episodes of his podcast because I just don't do that. It's not the way I consume information.
Right.
But okay. So to summarize the business model, you could approach podcasters and offer to curate, you know, whatever, and make multiple books, and they have to pay nothing, and you do 50-50 revenue split on all the formats that the book is released on. Second revenue model, again, this is just to summarize, is we could do this without their help and just make the book on our own. It'll be a different format. It'd just be about, it would be by our publishing company, and it'll be titled something like, you know, the 50 most fantastic things I learned from
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, from Joe Rogan's comedian interviews, or right. or, you know, it could be Joe Rogan on comedy, you know, or what I've learned from Joe Rogan on comedy, what I've learned from Joe Rogan on MMA, and you know, what I've learned from Ben Shapiro about economics or whatever. So that's the second business model. The third is they need a book, but they would use it for their own purposes, and then they would just outright pay. And then there's long-term things, which is that you're going to have a backlist. So some books will do better than others. You know, for every publishing company, they really make their profits on their backlist. So whoever still owns, you know, I don't know, War and Peace, I mean, it's, no one yeah. owns it now, but right. whoever really publishes it, they're making, that publishing company is probably making most of their money on War and Peace.
Right, Catcher in the Rye, that's the yeah. classic one.
So you make money from that as well. Well, these long-term things. And then we discussed advertising and affiliate fees and stuff like that. It's a little more speculative, but you know, that could at least be part of the plan.
Yeah. That's great. And
by the way, for everyone listening to this Side Hustle Friday, this kind of started off as something a different podcast, but we went into this. Feel free to start your own company doing this. It's a 1.5 million podcast. So no matter how big, if Brian and I were to do this, no matter how big we got, we would cover only a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the 1.5 million podcasts. And let's say half of them are quality enough podcasts to produce good enough books to be in a bookstore. And, you know, so there's room for huge competition here and, you know, no harm, no foul.
Right.
So, all right. And that was this week's episode of Side Hustle Fridays. Thanks, Brian, for just riffing that out.
Thanks, James.
People today can spend half their lives over 50. So it's good to be financially ready for what's important to you as you get older, like a family vacation. Or starting your dream business.
Welcome to Connie's Coffee. How may I help you?
AARP's trusted financial tools can help you plan for whatever your future holds. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Start planning today at aarp.org/moneytools.